Good morning, everyone. The time has come. We are grateful for our opportunity to gather here on this Thanksgiving Sunday, and just are mindful of the time in which we live. The temperatures are starting to change here, and it's supposed to get colder, but it is the end of November going into December, so we'll expect that, I guess. We want to take time to share together announcements in the congregation. You can turn to the back of your bulletins and you'll see some of these are listed for you. Are there others? Yes. Wonderful. Thank you so much for your efforts, Ladies' Aid. We appreciate that and everyone who contributed. Any others? Bob, do you have an announcement?
The BRF Witness brochures are back here again, and it's trusting in God rather than trusting in yourself is basically what it's telling you. And I need that more than anybody else in here, I think. So. But anyhow, avail yourself to it and read it. The already part of it is very secure. Also, I see a couple of red envelopes back here in some mailboxes. Just double check on the way out if you would, please.
Check your mailboxes, yes.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. Pick up a brochure. Deb?
Tracy, I wanted to wait till we got over the bake sale for the Ladies' Aid before I said bake again. But Christmas Bazaar. That's going to be held December 11th. It's from 1 to 5, and it's over here at the Fire Hall. And what it is, it's a fundraiser for the church, Kelly's idea. Kelly's always got good ideas. And we're going to have a bake sale table then. And then they have crafters that are going to come in, and they'll, to get a spot, they'll make a donation, and any proceeds will go to the church. Also, if you're looking for lunch that day, she has down here that the Ladies Auxiliary over there will be providing food and drink.
Yeah.
So it would be after church. Guess what, ladies? We don't have to cook that
day. No, this is on a Saturday, though.
Saturday?
Oh, that's right. That's right. Well, even why I'm confused, because she had two dates.
Oh.
And one was a Sunday, which she didn't want to do, but if the fire hall wasn't open, so sorry about that. But she still won't have to cook. You can go out with our group and buy a sandwich. So that's what confused me. But anyway, keep that in mind. We'll need baked goods. And closer to the date, I'll give a drop-off. Maybe even drop your things off on a Friday evening and I meet over there, or Saturday morning. So, but anyway.
Thank you so much. Any other announcements, Sarah?
I just want to add to Christmas coming up here that the candlelight service we are going to have on the 19th that evening. So if anybody wants to participate in that, I want to get a program together. So let me know as soon as possible.
Great. Thank you. All right. Well, let's worship the Lord today, and we'll begin our worship with this prelude. Call to worship comes from Psalms 93. The Lord reigns. He is clothed with majesty. The Lord is clothed. He has girded himself with strength. Surely the world is established so that it cannot be moved. Your throne is established from of old. You are from everlasting. Your testimonies are very sure. Holiness adorns your house, O Lord, forever. Let us come to the Lord in prayer. God in heaven, thank you, Lord. Thank you for this special day, this occasion that we can give you thanks. Lord, we ask that you might move in a mighty way in our worship today. Thank you for those that are here. We pray you'd be with those that could not be here. We ask, Lord, that you might continue to move mightily in your church all across the globe. And have your way, Lord. And so, Holy Spirit, come. Bless this time together. And we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Please join me in standing and singing hymn number 34. Amen. Well, we're especially glad to see The shoebox is here up front, and we have a total of 55 or 56. We'll count them again when we get ready to load up, but we praise God for that. And so we started this journey with shoebox collection about 8 years ago, and we have collected so far almost 400 over the 8 years. We had 15 the first year, and then 28, and then 56, and 53, and then 73 twice, and 44 last year, and 55 or 56 this year. And so we praise God. And we want to just pause here in our worship service to ask God's blessing on these. You know, they will go to the various warehouses across the country that Graham Ministry has. And volunteers come. Some of them give up the whole week of vacation time to come and just to pack, repack the boxes. And so we don't close them totally because they'll go through them and make sure that everything's appropriate there. They don't encourage guns. Things like liquids will spill and make a mess. And even Play-Doh, if kids in some countries will think that that's candy and eat it. And so they'll pull out some of the things that maybe shouldn't be there, put in some scriptures that it will be appropriate for that country that they're going to, and put them on cargo ships and send them across the seas. And volunteers then will go and distribute those shoeboxes as well. Some kids will receive a shoebox this year that have never received a shoebox before because they make a special effort to go into villages that they haven't been in before. And so we have testimonies of various people who have received their shoebox for the first time, first Christmas gift ever. Can you imagine? And so what a blessing it will be. And so we want to ask God to direct, to bless this project, and to see that kids all across the world will receive good news this Christmas, that the Savior has been born. And so would you pray with me? I'm going to ask you to stretch your hand forward as I lay my hand on the shoeboxes here, and we're going to ask God's blessing.
Let's pray. Dear Father in heaven, we thank you that you sent your Son into the world to be born in Bethlehem and to die on Calvary for us and for our sakes. And so, Lord, we thank you, Father, for each person who has given. We thank you, Lord, for the many folks that will be working to distribute these shoeboxes, for the folks at the First Baptist Church that are the drop-off site for the Claremont area. We thank you, Lord, for the volunteers that will come to the warehouses. We pray, Lord, that you would just oversee every step of this journey, this shoebox to the person and to the child that needs to receive it. And so, Father, we just ask you would guide and direct and bless. And we pray, Lord, not only would physical needs be met and kids would receive some small toys for Christmas, but that they would also, Lord, receive the message of Christmas, that they would receive the Savior of Christmas. And so we pray, Lord, that Jesus Christ would be evident in each one. And we thank you, Lord, for the joy and the delight that will light up kids' faces. And we pray that you would be their light, and that you would light up their lives as well. And so bless their families, Lord. Bless each one. And we pray in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, Amen.
Now we want to take time to share together joys and concerns. What is on your heart today?
Huh? One great joy is being able to be exercise our privilege and our faith right here in this facility. And want to give God credit for that. But the other joy is sitting right here. Another little angel from South Carolina.
Welcome, Gracie.
Yeah, Gracie. Well, listen to you. But anyhow, I got many others, and I'd like to continue to remember those of our facility and our congregation. Think of Kathy back here. We think of Alan Baker. I know Darlene's been having a few troubles over here. Steve with his back. And that's no point, is it, Steve? And then there's Jerry and Larry, our son with his treatments. And Jeff Smith, his dad, has been having some complications. And of course, our wife, Frank and Pat, Ralph and Deb, you, Tracy and Pat, and the ministry that you provide, and love you all and share with. Don't forget any cards and any occasions. You got a terrific memory. I country and its leaders. It's in dire shape, and well, every one of them just needs to look to him for guidance, of course. So many others on know, and you know, it's out there that has many complications. And I just want to give praise to God that just keeps on giving and for giving.
Yes.
I honor him this day in that respect.
Good and gracious.
Just keep Tammy and Wilton and the family in your prayers. I've talked with Tammy last night, and Wilton's still back and forth with John Hopkins, and he's just been shaky and not a good report. So just pray for strength and guidance for them, and that the doctors would have some wisdom to help get him saved. And also just keep praying for our young parents in the community, in the whole world, and let's just ask the board what we can do to draw our young parents in. So just pray about that, and pray each day about that, and just say, Lord, give me an idea that we can, what we can embellish on to bring young people back into the church with their children.
I want to continue Ricky and Jenny, and I also want to thank all the cards and prayers and phone calls.
Glad you're able to make it here today.
Yes, I am too.
Any others? Chair?
I still have a few unspoken requests to keep on there. And the joy also I want to mention is Mom and Dad's anniversary will be this Wednesday. Mm-hmm. It'll be 59 years. So I praise God that, that they're able to have that together.
Amen. Praise God. Yes, Frank.
We had several people in our community that have been ailing health. As a matter of fact, we just lost one also this past week. And we want to remember our children and our grandchildren. It seems like sometimes it's difficult for us to get the message through to them. But we put it in the hands of the Lord. And all others, I'll name a lot of them here in our church. But if there's anything we're not aware of,
amen. I'd like to also add my older brother Ted. He's having some depression problems and being treated for that. And of course, my mother's worrying about him. So, prayers for her as well. My brother Ted. Yes. Mm-hmm. Let's come to the Lord in prayer. We invite you to kneel or to remain seated with your head bowed. Let us pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for, again, this opportunity to express our gratitude, our gratefulness to you on this Thanksgiving Sunday. And we're mindful of our many blessings, Lord. There are so many that it seems impossible to count. God, we're grateful for health and wholeness and family and for anniversaries. So we give you thanks, Lord. We thank you for this place that we can come to worship you. We thank you, Lord, for loved ones, for blessings, the bounty of the harvest. Lord, there's just been so many things, and we want to just pause to remind ourselves to give you thanks. You are a good and gracious Heavenly Father. Thank you, God. Lord, we pray for those in our congregations that need a special touch from you. We pray for Kathy and Alan and Darlene and Steve. Thank you, Lord, for Bob and Linda and Frank and Pat. We pray for Jerry and Larry and Ricky and Jen. For Jeff's dad. For Frank's neighbors. We pray for, Lord, that you move in Tammy and Wilton's situation. We pray for insight for reaching young parents. Lord, we just ask that you might meet the needs of those who are spoken and those that are unspoken. You know what's on our hearts today, and we lift them to you as well. God, thank you for this message from David Jeremiah and for the upcoming messages that we'll hear and see. We pray that you would indeed move in our country, Lord. So we ask that you might surround those that are in positions of authority, wise counselors, those that can base their counsel on your word. And Lord, we pray that you'd help them to make good decisions, that we might live lives that are peaceable. We pray, Lord, that you would remove from office those who do not conform to your standards, to your word. God, we pray, Lord, that you might indeed bless this coming Thanksgiving holiday. May it be a time, Lord, that we would be able to gather with family and friends and express our gratitude to you. We are mindful, Lord, of all that you've given. And we pray that you'd help us to be your disciples in the day in which we live. And so teach us, Lord, how to pray, as Jesus taught his disciples how to. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let's turn to our hymnals again and invite you to stand with me, and we will sing number 289. The scripture I've chosen for today is Psalms 100, a psalm of thanksgiving. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endures to all generations. May God add His blessing to the reading of His word. Would you pray with me, please? Father God, we just pause in your presence again to ask that the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts and our minds would indeed be acceptable, our strength and our Redeemer. We give you thanks, God. Amen. Thanksgiving. The word in itself, I think, is a wonderful word. It is full of gratitude and involvement and celebration. And when we think of the month of November, we usually think of Thanksgiving automatically comes to mind. Whether or not you're a grateful person, most people will express some kind of thanks this Thursday. They're thankful for an American holiday, which usually involves a day off work, a parade or watching football, and a large meal with family and friends. It is the most traveled holiday of the year. The words Thanksgiving, harvest, and feast occur many times in the scriptures. Thanksgiving itself is noted 29 times. Harvest, 51 times, and the word feast, 142 times. The psalmist instructs us in the Old Testament to offer to God thanksgiving and to pay your vows. We are to come into His presence with thanksgiving. We're to enter His gates with thanksgiving. We're to be thankful to Him and to bless His name, as Scripture for this morning points out. The psalmist says, "With a song, I will magnify Him with thanksgiving. I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving, and I will sing to the Lord with thanksgiving." In the New Testament, we see that Paul wrote several things about thanksgiving. He said, "We're to be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, we're to make our requests known to God. We're to watch in the same with thanksgiving. And we're to in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning Christ Jesus for you." We usually think that the time to express gratitude is the beginning of the meal. We usually say that grace, and most people will pause for a moment and give thanks for the food. But biblical gratefulness, that of giving thanks, is also a part of worship and at the end of the meal. In Deuteronomy 8:10, it says, "When you have eaten or are full, then you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which He has given you," at the end of the meal. And so thanksgiving, then, is a specific time when people of faith come together and when the nation expresses gratefulness to God. The holiday should be celebrated, and it should be remembered, not just for all the food that will be eaten, but it should be a sacred occasion to say thank you to our Creator and our Sustainer. The word holiday means holy day, and Thanksgiving shouldn't necessarily become just Turkey Day. I'd like for us to consider that on Thanksgiving Sunday, that there is a difference. And we should note the difference between secular and sacred and how to celebrate Thanksgiving this year. In my sermon preparation, I'm using some thoughts that I came across here in Restoring the Real Meaning of Thanksgiving by Dr. D.J. Kennedy. He used to be down at Coral Ridge in the ministry there out of Fort Lauderdale, Florida. And Dr. Kennedy was a well-known speaker across our nation. And this was published in October of 89, but I think it's still very important for today. The scripture that I've chosen for today is Psalms 100. And it is a David's psalm, and it is a song of praise for God's faithfulness. Faithfulness to God's people. It's a jubilant summons, if you will, to give thanks to Jehovah. Psalms 100 may be regarded as the doxology of the preceding seven hymns. And so Psalms 93 through 99, Psalms 100 is like the doxology then, the last blessing. This psalm is one of the most favorite of all. Many people find it fairly easy to remember because it's short, so it's a great song to put to memory. And it is a crescendo of praise and joy and grandeur. It is a worshipful hymn, and it was probably a processional hymn. And so can you imagine the people of God gathering for worship at the temple and going up to the temple and the choir singing this psalm as they were headed into worship? It was a joyful procession, a joy to enter into worship, and they did so with praise and with thanksgiving. Do you know that this is the only psalm that bears the precise inscription before it that says, a psalm of praise? This particular one was designated as a psalm of praise. So I think it's very appropriate for us for this holiday that we take a look at this psalm and remember it. And it is a call for us giving thanks, but also a universal call for all of God's people, everyone, to give thanks. You know, Thanksgiving is somewhat of a unique holiday for us as Americans. And I think we as Americans have given Thanksgiving holiday to many others. There are only 17 countries in the world that celebrate Thanksgiving in the various times of the year. Of course, here in this country, we celebrate on the fourth Thursday of November, thanks to President Lincoln's proclamation. But our neighboring to the north, Canada, celebrates it on second Monday of October, and they celebrate the harvest and other blessings of the past year. There, French is spoken, and their holiday is called Action de Grace. In Germany, Thanksgiving there is Erntedankfest, and it is the first Sunday of October. And, of course, they celebrate with lots of food and beer. In the Netherlands, church services are held. And we should remember, as they do, that 40% of the people that were on the Mayflower were from the Netherlands. And so they remember Thanksgiving and celebrate on the fourth Thursday as well. Brazil celebrates Thanksgiving. It's called Dia de Echo de Graças, and it is a church service. They have a church service and then a holiday that celebration or a party in the streets, they have parades and that kinds of thing. The interesting thing about Brazil is that their ambassador in the 1940s came to America, and he was so impressed with our Thanksgiving celebration that he took the idea back to his country, and it became popular and was adopted. Liberia also has a celebration of Thanksgiving. They have an auction of fruit-filled cornucopias at church, which they donate the money then to the church and to the needy. And then after the service, they return homes to their feast. Thanksgiving is also celebrated, but a little bit differently in the Far East. China has a three-day festival around the time of the autumn equinox. Japan also, and Malaysia. In Malaysia, they have their celebration in May, and it is for the rice harvest, and so they celebrate with rice wine and playing games. Some countries celebrate a Thanksgiving-type holiday, which would be more resembling to our Independence Day celebrations, giving thanks for their liberation and freedom. Some countries celebrate to the wrong deity. In South India, they have a celebration called Pongal, and it is a four-day festival in the mid of January that gives thanks to the god of rain and clouds and the sun god for the harvest. Might be one reason why India has so much poverty. As we're about to celebrate Thanksgiving again, I think it's helpful for us to recall how it came about and who we should give thanks to. You know, as we have seen, there's been a great secularization of holidays and in our society in general. And it is many times these sacred celebrations have been changed over the years. And there is an attempt to rewrite history. Transformations are being taken place here in modern times, which are huge. We can see a great drastic change from when we were young to now. Statues, as Dr. Davis Jeremiah emphasized here today in his message, have been taken down. Religion is being removed. Many of our textbooks have been rewritten, and more culturally and politically correct reasons are given for the origins. We cry about the commercialization of Christmas, and we say that rightly so, but we say keep Christ in Christmas, but we should also maybe think about Thanksgiving as well. And so maybe our cry for Thanksgiving should be keep Thanksgiving sacred. Is it not a shame that when autumn arrives, the stores have big Halloween displays and move right into Christmas? Sometimes Halloween and Christmas are side by side at the store. Very little space or items are given to Thanksgiving. Is it not a crime that our students are being told that the Pilgrim's Thanksgiving was not so much giving thanks to God as it was just to say thank you to the Indians? And is it not a disgrace that we have come so far in our society from our religious and historical roots? You know, you're probably familiar a little bit with the Pilgrim story, how they feasted after a very difficult winter and invited the Indians to their celebration. But our holidays have been secularized more and more. And I think we need to maybe halt and stop and relearn the real meaning of the history of some of these holidays and the meaning of Thanksgiving. And it was made to be a time of expression of gratitude to God. This is what our forefathers were all about. The Pilgrims, the Puritans, and the Patriots wanted to celebrate a time of giving thanks to God. There were other Thanksgiving celebrations before the Pilgrims' Feast of 1621 in various parts of our country. Some try to claim that they were the first, but it was the colony there at Plymouth that launched the first real celebration, because their community continued, and they also had an influence of others. And so while we might think about Thanksgiving and the Plymouth Pilgrims, we should also remember the folks in Connecticut as well. Did you know that Reverend Thomas Hooker left Boston and settled in Hartford, Connecticut, and he promptly called for three Connecticut towns to join together in forming a colony? Now, Reverend Hooker followed the Pilgrim pattern, and he led the people of Connecticut in framing a written compact of civil self-government rooted in the Mosaic tradition. He used as his text the Deuteronomy 1:13, "Take you wise men and understanding and known among your tribes, and I will make them rulers over you." And so Reverend Hooker preached a scholarly sermon that guided the men of Connecticut in framing the fundamental orders of Connecticut in 1639. And it's commonly called the world's first complete written constitution. And that followed Plymouth's constitutional charter. Theirs was known as the Pilgrim's Code of Law, which took place 3 years before. Hooker and his congregation also followed the Pilgrim pattern of Thanksgiving, and there Connecticut believers actually initiated the practice of systematically celebrating Thanksgiving. They did it every year from 1649 onward. This is, I think, a crucial innovation. And when Connecticut made Thanksgiving an annual feast for general causes, and a new holiday then was born. Thanksgiving in Connecticut was held every autumn, not for special reasons per se, but in gratitude for the ordinary blessings of the past year and for the fruits of the earth. Where did the people of Plymouth and Connecticut get their idea for an annual Thanksgiving festival? It was their response to Scripture. They understood Scriptures like 1 Thessalonians 5:18, to give God thanks in everything. And they also understood the Old Testament annual Feast of Tabernacles, or Booths, also called the Feast of Ingathering. I'd like to read a paragraph here from Dr. Kennedy's book here. He says, "To a remarkable degree, the Pilgrims' first Thanksgiving in 1621 displayed parallels from the Israelis' Feast of Ingathering. the pilgrims not only were thanking God for their harvest, but for their deliverance from the bondage of religious persecution in England. Their feast embraced all the plantation's inhabitants, including women and children, as well as 90 poor, quote, strangers, King Massasoit's Indians. And since the pilgrims at first built smaller houses than they had in England, and less substantial than they could construct later, their dwellings in 1621 may have seemed like temporary tabernacles or booths in which the Israelis were to live as reminders of their wilderness tents. Why did the pilgrims celebrate Thanksgiving in 1621 when they had such a scanty harvest that year? Because they believed God wanted them to continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Colossians 4:2. But we should also remember that their real thanksgiving, when they had an abundant harvest, was 2 years later, in 1623. The Thanksgiving holiday was given birth by these local celebrations at Plymouth and Connecticut in the 1640s and the 1650s. And then, thanks to one lady, we had then Thanksgiving become a national holiday on the fourth Thursday by Abraham Lincoln. Are you familiar with the lady's name, Sarah Hale? See, we often forget the important people that God puts into place. But Sarah felt very strongly that Thanksgiving should be lifted up. And some of the states were beginning to enact state holidays for Thanksgiving, but it wasn't a national holiday yet. And Sarah did one thing. She wrote letters. She encouraged the celebration of Thanksgiving, of playgrounds for children, and of monuments. And she wrote, continued to write, even though she was turned down so many times. She actually wrote to four different presidents, those preceding Abraham Lincoln. And finally, Abraham Lincoln said yes and declared it a national holiday. We should not forget folks like Sarah Hale, who helped us to celebrate Thanksgiving in a more secular way. And so we today, I think, want to encourage our family and friends to remember Thanksgiving and to celebrate it, to remember its history, and to keep it more sacred and not so much secular. Do you know our forefathers celebrated Thanksgiving by attending church? Church services were held, and they lamented in the 1880s. Now remember, in the 1880s was the heyday for the Brethren. We had reached our peak in terms of membership. And in the 1880s, the denominations lamented that they were only half full, or you could say half empty, in church services on Thanksgiving Day. We had begun as a holiday, a holy day, created to honor God by God-fearing people who came to America for religious freedom, increasingly has become a day of competitive sports, of secular parades, and excessive eating and drinking. You know, my own memories of Thanksgiving, though they are fond, are not sacred. They are secular. We had Butcher Day on Thanksgiving. It was because people were off and our neighbors and friends could come, and about 100 people would show up and help us butcher about a dozen hogs. And it was a great day. It was a family reunion. There was plenty of food. Mom had 5 shifts in order to feed everyone. It was a great day and a good memory, but it wasn't sacred. It was secular. In 1921, Gimbel's department store in Philadelphia sponsored a Thanksgiving Day parade, and it launched the holiday buying spurt. And now we know that Macy's in New York City has championed the parade, and Christmas season begins now with the end of the parade, with Santa and Mrs. Claus coming down the street. Dr. James Kennedy writes that in a review of the history of Thanksgiving, and it's obvious that secularization of Thanksgiving has been part and parcel of the secularization of America in whole, and that both have been going on for a long time. And thus we cannot expect to restore Thanksgiving in and of itself from a restoration of the culture as a whole, and we cannot expect a renewal to be accomplished overnight. And so we have to recognize that we need revival. And so oftentimes, as revivals come, we have to ask, what can I do? What can I do to help restore Thanksgiving, to keep Thanksgiving sacred? I'd like to offer four suggestions. And in David Jeremiah style, I'll make these kind of similar. The first one is we can know our history. We can know our history, and we should not forget our history. Knowing America's Christian history, we know that it's not really been properly taught in our schools recently. In fact, over the last 100 years, the process and the origins and the meaning of Thanksgiving have been obscured. And so we can make it our business to read and to know, and then to share the truth of our historical roots. You know, one of the ways that we can do that is to read America's first classic. Have you ever read Of Plymouth Plantation by Governor William Bradford? It's a great part, explains what the pilgrims were sharing and doing at that time. And so we want to make sure that our kids and grandkids are getting the right information. So one of the things that we can do is to give them historical correct books to read that highlight faith and God and religion. I have a couple here that we had gotten over the years to share with our kids. And here's one particularly on Sarah Hale, and talks about her efforts to get Thanksgiving a national holiday. But, you know, even in these, they only just mention the fact that the pilgrims came here for religious reasons. And most of these highlight that they gave thanks, but they don't say that they gave thanks to who. They were grateful that the Indians helped them, but oftentimes the aspect of giving thanks to God is limited. And so we can know our history, and we can share that history with others. The second thing that we can do is know our Bibles. You know, it is surprising what the Holy Spirit will show you as you study God's Word, and to know the history and to know the feasts that are there in the Scriptures. So you can take a concordance, and concordance is a book that puts down every word that's mentioned in the Scriptures, and it shows you where they are in the Scriptures. And so you can take a concordance and look up words like Thanksgiving or harvest or feast, and you know you're going to find a cornucopia of solid gold there of truths. And oftentimes, as we look over the whole picture of both the Old and the New Testament, oftentimes God will give us new insights. The second thing is that our third thing we can know is our prayers. We can know our prayers. We can have this kind of knowledge, and without knowledge, it's important to have understanding. We can know a lot of facts, but if we don't have the understanding, oftentimes we miss the point. And so when we come to our prayer times, our prayer can be more focused and earnest for renewal and for revival. Remember, the Scriptures say that if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, then God will hear from heaven and will answer. And so we need to pray. To pray that Thanksgiving will be a time of sacred time in our families, and for believers to rise up and to reject the claims that are being made today, and to reclaim our history and our heritage. This, I think, is very important, that we give God the honor and the glory due. You know, our bounty isn't because we're so smart, that we're so ingenuitive, our energy, we have so much strength, we're greater. America is great because God has allowed us and blessed us.
Amen.
And we need to recognize and to give that honor and glory back to Him. And the fourth thing is that we can know our celebrations. And by that I mean that we can watch our own conduct. How we celebrate holidays is important. what becomes tradition for us. And immediately the days before and immediately the days after should be a time of somber and sacred days in preparation for Thanksgiving, after the pattern of the pilgrims. So we should, as we usually do, take time to say grace before meals, but also maybe to take some time after the meal. We want to thank the people who have prepared the meal. We want to thank God for the meal. But maybe going around the table and sharing, each person given an opportunity to share what they're grateful for. It can be sometimes very touching to a family to be drawn together by those that are sharing around the table things that they're thankful for. Remember, Deuteronomy 8:10 says, "When you have eaten and are full, then you shall bless the Lord." And bless God for what? For the good land which He has given you. You know, this land is great because we have such good seasons. We have sun and rain. And out the West is the breadbasket of the world. But how quickly that can change. We saw the forest fires out West. Madagascar has gone through a 3-4 year severe drought, and their crops have literally dried up. Their land is cracked because of being so dry, and they're going through a famine right now. That could, in a matter of a few years, that could be us. If God didn't send the rain, if God didn't give us the good weather. And so farmers realize that they're dependent upon the weather. When a farmer goes out and plants his crop in the spring, he's putting thousands of dollars into the ground. And he doesn't know if he'll get a harvest, but he prays he does. He does the work. God blesses the seed. God allows it to grow, and it multiplies, and there's a harvest. And so we want to extend that that gratitude back to God. Another thing is to don't let culture and trends squeeze the celebrations of Thanksgiving out with the secularization and the commercialization of Halloween and Christmas. You know, Halloween has become one of the most expensive holidays. People will spend enormous amounts of money on Halloween, on costumes and candy. And the latest trends is costumes for pets. And so in the midst of all this, we should, I think, remember to keep Thanksgiving and to keep Thanksgiving sacred. One of the things I like to do is to decorate for Thanksgiving, to send out cards. We can send out email greetings. We can make phone calls to extended family and friends. But to reach out and to let folks know that we're thankful and we're grateful. Is there somebody that has done something for you and you haven't taken the time to give thanks? This will be a great time to express, either in card or phone call, to express, hey, I just wanted to say thanks for what you did so-and-so a long time ago, or, you know, whatever. You gave me this, you did this, you said this, it meant a lot to me. To express our gratitude to others. I know we all love Christmas. I love Christmas too. I can't wait for the season. But I want to encourage you to wait to decorate until after Thanksgiving. You know, we push more and more to have Christmas earlier. And Christmas doesn't start until Advent. Advent is the first Sunday after Thanksgiving. Advent is the preparation for Christmas. And so we can begin Christmas celebrations at Advent and running up to Christmas. And Christmas doesn't, or Thanksgiving shouldn't be obscured by Christmas. You know, Thanksgiving pray doesn't start Christmas. It's Advent. Advent starts Christmas. And so I want to encourage you not to throw your tree out after the 25th. So many Christmas trees are on the streets on the 26th. Christmas isn't over. Christmas is just starting. There are the 12 days of Christmas. And so extend your Christmas celebration to the 12 days of Christmas, which run from the 25th to January the 6th. January the 6th is Epiphany. That's when the wise men, we celebrate the wise men coming to the manger. And so instead of pushing Christmas earlier, let's push our Christmas celebration later. And traditionally, the celebration was the 12 days of Christmas. The other thing I would encourage you to do is to attend a Thanksgiving Eve or a community Thanksgiving Day service. These are becoming harder and harder to find. But if I asked you to come to church on Thanksgiving Day, I doubt if there would be only a few people show up. But some churches go together and have a Thanksgiving community, Thanksgiving Eve service. In the communities that do that, there's still a far cry from a good attendance. You would think out of a dozen churches, the place would be full, and oftentimes there's only a handful of people that come out for a community Thanksgiving Eve service. This is, again, an indication of how secular our society has become and how secular we have become. And so the scriptures tell us that we are to come into his presence with thanksgiving. And so we could make it a part of our family tradition, not just to celebrate a big meal on Thanksgiving Day, but what if we all went together on Thanksgiving Eve to church and celebrate Thanksgiving? We're to enter his courts with praise and singing. We're to enter his courts and his gates with thanksgiving. And so I believe, brothers and sisters in Christ, that we can do our part to keep Thanksgiving sacred. Let's give God, not some deity, not patting ourselves on the back for our wealth, for our ingenuity, but let's give God our thanksgiving as we celebrate and we keep this holy day, a time of giving gratitude, thanksgiving back to God. We should count our blessings. The scripture says here that we are to come into his presence with thanksgiving. We're to make a joyful shout. All ye lands, not just America, but all nations, are to make a joyful shout to the Lord, to serve the Lord with gladness, to come before his presence with singing, to know that the Lord, it is he who is God. He has made us and not we ourselves. We are the sheep of his pastures. And we are to enter into his courts with praise, with thanksgiving, to bless his name. Why? Because he's good. He's good. And his mercy is everlasting to all generations, to this generation, to the next generation. His mercy is there if we cry out to him. And so, brothers and sisters in Christ, I want to encourage you on this Thanksgiving Sunday to keep Thanksgiving sacred. Happy Thanksgiving. Let us pray. Good and gracious God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Son, our Good Shepherd, and we thank you for the Holy Spirit, our Good Comforter. We thank you, God, this day for the bounty of the good earth, for our daily bread, which we enjoy, and to be born in a land of plenty and privilege. God, we want to celebrate Thanksgiving this week, and so I ask that you would help us to be mindful to count our blessings and to keep Thanksgiving sacred. We are so blessed. You meet our needs and then some. And we pray you would help those who are less fortunate, maybe who do not have food or water or shelter. Thank you for your mercy, for your grace, and for your love as your people. We are your sheep of your pasture. God, we acknowledge that you have created us in your image and not we ourselves. You have redeemed us by the blood of the Lamb, and you've adopted us into your family, and you have given us so much. May we always be grateful and bless your holy name. Help us, God, to serve you with gladness all the days of our lives. Let us know you better, Lord, beyond your provisions, that each of us would truly have a grateful heart. God, may our gratitude last longer than a holiday and include praise for who you are as well as for your many blessings. And so, Lord, grant us grace, the grace of gratitude. Let gratitude be our attitude. And as the old saying goes, thou hast given us so much, give us one more thing, a thankful heart. And it is to you, Lord, that we want to give our thanks today and on Thanksgiving Day. And we just simply want to say thank you. And it's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. Let's turn to hymn number 516 and share together in this hymn. I invite you to stand. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance and give you peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And all of God's people said,
Amen. Praise God from whom all blessings come. Praise him. Father.
Happy Thanksgiving.